Well, I want to say how thankful I am to be here with you
and to have this opportunity to study together for a while. I think I'm going to just set this little podium up here and might just do it that way. Let's see. And we're going to, of course, we've been focusing on Romans chapter 8. And we're going to get back to that here in just a moment. But I'll say how thankful I am to be with you and thankful to God for this occasion and this time we have together. And I'd like to, you know, you've heard me preach several times now and I'm sure you're ready for a break. So I just kind of have this just like a Bible class. And whenever I do a Bible class, I don't preach a Bible class, I teach a Bible class. And so if you are willing to speak up or to read for me or things like that, I'm going to be asking for that from time to time, and I don't know who does or who doesn't. And so you can either speak up or raise your hand or whatever you'd like to do, and we'll go from there. But, of course, we've been talking about spiritual mindedness. In this sermon, though, in this particular class lesson, what I want us to do is notice that the spiritual mind is supposed to be cultivating us and grooming us, if you will, for what is to come. All right? What is the ultimate goal for a Christian? All right? Salvation. Salvation in what form? A home in heaven. Finally to be saved. And I'm glad you brought that up. Salvation, it's interesting. I don't know if you ever studied this before or not. Salvation is actually talked about in three different ways. There's salvation from past sins, there's salvation currently where you are, and there's salvation to come. Okay? And so whenever you begin to read the New Testament, you'll see that. Different ways in which men are saved, or the condition of salvation, if you will. And then there's one, in Romans chapter 13, he said now, in verse 11, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Well, how could your salvation be nearer? See, I thought you were saved when you were baptized. Well, how could it be nearer?
Eternal salvation, heaven, that's what.
Aren't you getting closer and closer to eternity every day you live? See? The miles that, yeah, you talk about the miles that lay behind me, they're farther now than the miles that lay ahead. Every day you get closer and closer and closer. All right, so again, there's different ways or different tense, you might say, of salvation. There's past, from your past sins, or salvation, I am a saved person. Okay, that's current. I am saved. And then there's salvation to come. Salvation in heaven. And so I want us to focus on that for a little while and think about salvation and talk about heaven. And when you talk about heaven, it's necessary, of course, to let the Bible speak about it. Man's mind can't describe it, but God's Word can. And so we think about heaven. What do we think about when we think about heaven? All right, you're thinking about actions like praising God? All right. Talks about gold, yes, streets of gold. And how about refuge?
Rest.
What'd you say? Eternal and peace and rest. All right, when they're going to talk about mansions?
God's love.
Ah, the ever-presence of God's love. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is
love.
God's love ever abides. And you'll be in the very presence of God's love in heaven. Faith, after a while, faith is made sight. Faith goes away. Hope, once you get it, you don't hope for it anymore. Hope goes away. You have faith and hope, in heaven, you believe in it, but once you get there, there's not faith. Once you're there, you're there. And once you're there, you don't hope for it because you are there. But love continues and abides. Anything else?
No more sorrow.
No sorrows? We have that in this world.
No worries.
Yes, no worries. Oh, light. Okay, yes, light. Light and no darkness. There's no darkness. Darkness is reserved for hell, fire, and torment, and all of that. What else? The glory of God. All these are great answers. There's nobody that's told me a wrong answer yet. I just asked, what do you think of? Well, here's a few more things you might think of from this side. Heaven is the abode of God. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2, he talks about this just in this description. It's not like, a full dissertation on anything, but it's just stated in a matter-of-fact way. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says what?
Do not be hasty of order or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore,
all right, so God is where? God's in heaven. You're on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And there's obviously a larger point he's making, but I just noticed just a matter-of-fact statement here. He says God's in heaven. When we talk about the abode of God, you're talking about this place of heaven. You're talking about a place that's where God's throne is. Okay, in that sense. And I recognize, before we get too far, I recognize that God is a spirit, and I recognize it's a spiritual reality. But in order for my mind to grasp it, God has to use a physical representation. So like a throne. And Jesus, Acts 7, verse 49, Acts 7, 49 talks about Stephen and what Stephen saw when he saw the heavens opened and what? There, standing at the right hand of God. To be at the right hand of God was a position of, and is a position of power. But in those days, they would appreciate this perhaps more than we do in America with no king. But a king would be on his throne, and whoever he had to his right hand was someone considered of equal value and equal power. And so you had the king, and then you had whoever over here. Well, in this case, he said, here's Christ standing at the right hand of God. All right, or sitting at the right hand of God. It depends on which, not that passage, but there's other passages that talk about sometimes standing, sometimes sitting. But the point is, he's there at his right hand. And you'll read these different places. But here, when this happens, that's the picture of a throne. And a position of what? You think about a throne, you're thinking about what? Authority. Very good. Authority. Power. Here is God's throne. Spiritually, and it's interesting, you look in Hebrews 11, this is called a city in the country. Now how can you get a city in the country? Well, we found one. Look over in Hebrews 11 with me, and we'll read verse 10. And, well, if I can get there. All right, so he's talking about Abraham is who he's talking about. In the context, he's talking about Abraham here. And verse 10 says, he, Abraham, did what? All right. He's looking for a city that hath foundations. Jump to verse 16. Now it's not talking about not only not only Abraham, but all these faithful folks he's talked about thus far, puts them all together in the same category and says they what? Verse 16. A better country, that is? Yes. Where? Just keep going. He has prepared a what? A city. He said they have a better country, and he's prepared a city. How about that? And so referred to in both terms, you might say, a city and a country. And all of this where God is. This is where, and some of our answers kind of went this way, this is where the righteous are going to be one day. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 talks about this. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's talking about the end when the Lord would return and he would gather all the people and everything. He says the dead in Christ shall what? They're going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them where? In the air. I wonder why we had to meet in the air. He's not coming back, and the reason why he's not coming back is what? Thank you. There's no earth to come back to. Earth burns up. It's gone. There's no earth to come back to. So whenever he comes and we meet the Lord in the air and there's destruction of this earthly realm, and here we are meeting the Lord, and he says, so shall we ever, E-V-E-R, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, do what? Last verse. Comfort one another. Well, these are words of comfort. You want to talk about words of comfort? You're going to talk about words that tell us about what's coming and what's coming for the righteous folks. And that's what you see on that side, the righteous. This is a description of where the righteous are going to be one day, to be in the presence of God, to be in the presence of His love and of His glory and of all of this, to be in this place of God's throne. I'm getting ahead of myself. John brought this up. Look in Revelation 7. There's kind of be a little bit everywhere. Revelation chapter 7. And gives us a picture of heaven here toward the tail end of this chapter, where he talks about, and please feel free to read the context. I'm seeing how my time is winding up. They shall not hunger anymore, neither shall they thirst. He says, the sun not light on them, nor any heat. We had that discussion about light. Sun shall not light on them, nor any heat. Alright? It's not going to be oppressive Tennessee summer. That's not what he's talking about. There's going to be light, but there's not going to be heat. That oppressive like thing we think about. Now, keep going. He says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. That's why you're not going to hunger anymore. And shall lead them to the fountains of living waters. And that's why you're not going to thirst anymore. Does that sound familiar? Feed them, lead them to the waters. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Isn't that the 23rd Psalm? In verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here it is. Just a further reference to that. Now, huh? Yes. What God did for them in the wilderness was what? He provided them food every day. Mm-hmm. Didn't He lead them to the waters? And if they thought they didn't see water, then He provide water anyways out of a rock. I mean, there is always water, there's always food. Well, the Lamb shall feed them and shall lead them to living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Wipe away all the tears. In this world we have tears, don't we? We have tears of sorrow and tears of regret and tears of frustration. We have tears of sadness. We have all kinds of tears. Tears of grief, go down the list. And he says God's going to wipe those away. So here we see that beautiful description of heaven. Yet at the same time, this is a place unlike anything you've ever seen. It's unlike anything this earthly life would give us or anything our minds could envision, because this place, the Bible teaches, is eternal. We don't have anything that's eternal. There's nothing that's eternal. Do you know that? I mean, your soul's eternal, but I'm talking about anything of this world. These seats are not eternal. You know what I'm saying? Your Bible is not eternal. The binding and the leather binding and the onion skin paper, that's not eternal. Okay? Your bodies are not eternal. Are they? They wear out. Things wear out, break, fall off. All kinds of good stuff, don't they? You look at that and somebody says, they're talking about the how old age is and things like that, and they said, and everything I've got, it said, everything I've got hurts, and what don't hurt don't work. That's just the way things went with them. There's nothing about us that's eternal. And yet you talk about heaven, you're talking about something that is eternal. Never fades away, never changes. And all. It's unlike anything you've ever seen or visited before, because this is a spiritual place. We talk about a heaven. It's unlike any other destination that you've ever been to. There's a false concept today, and you hear it a bunch. There are many people today who have the idea and have the concept that all that's necessary to go to heaven is to die. You know, how many times have you heard that and say, well, what happened? So, well, they died and went to heaven. Now, died and went to heaven. This died and went to heaven. Somebody else died and went to heaven. Somebody's dead and they say, oh, they're looking down on us from heaven right now. Really? So all that's necessary to go to heaven is die. Think about that. The truth is, you won't get to heaven unless you make plans to go. It's just a fact. You won't get there unless you make plans. It's just like anything else. You won't get anywhere unless you make plans. You made plans to be here. Now, there may have been just in a moment of time you may have said, yeah, we're going to go. You know, you made plans to be here in some form this morning. You made plans to have been here last night. If you was here last night, you made plans for Friday night. See? You make plans to go anywhere you're going to go. You make plans for vacations. You make plans for whatever. But you're not going to get anywhere unless you make plans, and that's the way this is. You're not going to make plans to go to heaven or be in heaven. You won't be in heaven unless you make plans to go. Now, how do I make plans? Doesn't it start up here? So you go like this. That's where it starts. Now, here's the thing. Here's my question. Be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. My question for you this morning in our Bible class is, what's on your mind? We're thinking about heaven and focusing on that for a moment, but what's on your mind? Because whatever's on my mind, that's what's coming out. Is my mind on spiritual matters or on physical? See? Now go back to our descriptions of heaven a moment ago. One of our descriptions, we said that this place was a spiritual place. Right? Spiritual reality, spiritual truth. So if it's a spiritual place, then I better have a spiritual mind. Because nothing carnal is going to heaven. Be carnally minded is what? It's death, isn't it? Anything carnal is not going to heaven. Look over in 1 Corinthians 15, and he said, where he talked about flesh and blood. What happens to flesh and blood? Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So nothing carnal is getting in. It's spiritual, focused in a spiritual way. So if heaven is my goal, will it not affect how I live upon the earth? That's what I want you to consider when we talk about thinking about heaven. When I'm truly thinking about heaven, it's more than just daydream. It's a plan. It's a plan of action that I'm going to implement. See? So I ask you the question, when's the last time you thought about heaven? Has it been that long? When's the last time we thought about it? When's the last time we thought, man, this is going to be really great? It's something I'm really looking forward to. It's something that I can make it through the hardships of life because I know God's promised me there's a heaven to come. You know what? Think about that. Making plans to go. I mean, we plan for vacations, don't we? Plan for trips, plan for this, plan for that. Ever gone to Disney? Well, we're in the same company because I hadn't either. But generally when people go to Disney, they plan for it. And I know folks that's gone. I've seen them do stuff. And anymore, and didn't used to be this way, but anymore, they'll say, planning on going to Disney. Well, you don't just jump in the car and go down there. You have to plan on it. And people do. They make trip plans, and they go, and they'll get a thing in the mail from Disney. It says, hey, your vacation's coming up. Woo-hoo. Hey, kids, look at this. Look what we got from Mickey Mouse. Yay. And there'll be something in, and there'll be wristbands. I forget. They get wristbands and stuff like that. I've seen all this stuff. And they've got, oh, look at that. Oh, yay, we get to go. And what happens? Oh, look on the calendar. Can we go today? No, you can't go today. It's going to be on this day. Can we go? No, you can't go yet. Okay. And then the kids wake up. Oh, it's time to go. No, it's not time to go. It's none of that. And you've got all that happening. You know that excitement? And you say, oh boy, now it's time. Okay, yay, vacation. Woohoo. And here we go. We've made our plan. And we go down and do our thing. And we talk about it. We've talked about it with people. We tell people, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do there. Whenever I get there, this is what I'm going to do. And wherever. Or if you don't want to go to Disney, that was just one example. You don't want to go to Disney, you can go to Gatlinburg. And, well, I can't wait to go to Gatlinburg. Or I can't wait to go here, there. So I'm going to go out west. I'm going to go to the Grand Canyon. I'm going to go see a mountain out in Washington or wherever it is. I'm going to go to... And what do you talk about? I'm going to go do it. This is what I'm going to do. This is how long I'm going to be gone. This is how I'm going to get there. And this is my plans when I go there. And what I'm going to do and what I'm going to see. And I'm going to do this and this and so. And I'm just... And that's what we talk about. Isn't that right? Isn't that way we do? Let me ask you something. When's the last time we talked about heaven? See, if I make my plans to go somewhere, generally that's what I want to talk about. And even if you don't want to talk about it, I want to talk about it. Because I'm excited to go. I might make somebody jealous, and that'd be good too. Ha-ha, don't you wish you were me? Yeah. But how much more when we say, I want to go to heaven. And not only this, I want you to go with me. And you know what? There's room for everybody. And you can go, and we can be in the presence of God, and we can be in the presence of the angels, and we can be there to praise and glorify God forever and forever and forever. In a place with no darkness and all light, and a peace and safety and quietness and rest and love. We can have all those things. See, me like that's something we'd all be talking about. You know? See, me like that would be something that'd be high on my list. If I'm a spiritually minded person that says I have plans that go somewhere better than Disney and go somewhere better than Gatlinburg and go somewhere better than the Eiffel Tower or go somewhere better than wherever your favorite place is to go. You know what? Look at Hebrews 11. Go back to Hebrews 11 for a moment. I'm kind of preaching again. I didn't mean to do that. I want you to talk some too. Look in Hebrews 11:13 with me. Somebody read that for me.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embracing them and confessing them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
All right, thank you. And so here, Hebrews 11 talks about these all died in faith. Well, who's the these?
Abraham, Sarah, Isaac.
Yeah, all the people we've just been talking about the last 12 verses. And, of course, there's more to come that would fit this category, too, by the way. It's not just these only. There's others that fit the category. But these are the ones. They died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having, notice this, seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Those four statements are not four random statements. Those four statements are like stair steps. One builds on the next and builds on the next. So these are someone who's seen it afar off. Notice that. Seen it afar off. It's not here right now. I'm seeing it afar off. I'm seeing it in my mind's eye. I'm seeing it with the eye of faith. I can see it. It's there. It's kind of like, I'm going on vacation. When? 3 weeks from now. Oh my. Well, I'm... And you know what happens? They say... It gets about a week and a half or so, it gets closer and closer and say, oh, look out, honey, I'm already in vacation mode. I'm not going to get much done at work this week. I'm already on vacation. Right? I'm already there. You see it afar off. How is it that these people could endure cruel beatings and mockings and trials and cutting people in half, which that happened, and all kinds of things they suffered? How can you do that? And even from there, even in what you call secular history, that is to say it's not in biblical record, but it is history. And these people being burned at the stake for their faith in Christ and burned at the stake for that. And the reports are from people who are on outside the fire. They're saying that they were burned up, and as they were burning up, they were singing songs, singing hymns and songs of Zion. And you go, how in the world could you sing songs then? And they did. They were singing the songs until they died. And you say, how in the world you could see it afar off? Can you see heaven afar off? He says here, not only that, they've seen it afar off and were persuaded of it. To be persuaded. They were persuaded, that means I believe it. See? Whenever your parents, especially when your parents talking to your children and you tell your children how they're going on vacation, they tend to what? Don't they tend to believe you? They tend to believe you. And they're persuaded of it. And whenever we do that and we believe it ourselves because we're going, they not only see it afar off, but persuaded. They believe it. They believe what it is. And then the third thing was what? Embraced. What does embrace mean? What do you do when you embrace? Huh? Okay. What do you do when you embrace? Yeah. Thank you. Don't you pull somebody to you? Embrace just means hug. So whenever you embrace somebody, are you keeping them? Hey, you stay away from me. You embrace somebody, what are you doing? You bring them in close. Now this is not talking about a person. This is talking about what they saw afar off. They saw it afar off, were persuaded, and embraced it. They brought it in. They made it personal. They brought it in and said, this is mine. And... now,
they confessed.
Confessed it. What does confess?
They agreed with God. They didn't belong in His word.
Mm-hmm. I'm going. Did you know I'm going? I'm going. Did you know about that? I'm going to go on vacation. Did you know about my faith? Did you know where I'm going? And it could be a vacation. It could be a new job. It could be anything you're excited about. But did you know about that? I'm going to. We're going to move. Did you know where we're going to move to? Oh, yeah. We tell everybody. We tell anybody. That's confess. And so they saw it afar off, were persuaded, this is true. I'm going to bring it in. In other words, I'm going to make it mine. It's true. And I'm going to tell people. Because not only this, but I want, not only do I want to go, I want you to go. See that? Friends, what's on our mind? We're thinking about heaven. We think about the abode. Do we think about what that has for us? This should excite us. This should make me so excited because I say, you know what? I was in sin. I was lost and I wasn't doing what the Lord says. I have learned the truth. I've learned God's will and I've followed it. And God has promised. Remember what I told you a while ago? What the children tend to do when parents say something? Don't they tend to believe it? My father told me I can be in heaven with him. That's what my father said. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. My father told me he wants to see me. My father told me I could be with him. And you know what? That's what I'm doing, and that's where I want to go. I want to be where my father is. And there it is. The spiritual mind, see, as a result of my reading and knowing God's will, that's what produces faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So if I've heard the Word of God and produces the faith, there's your persuasion, and I've heard, then there's produces that faith, and I'm going to bring it into me, and I'm going to let folks know, and I'm going to tell it to myself too. Sometimes maybe I need a reminder. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's where the issue is. And I get all caught up in this and the wranglings of this life and this problem and another problem. Something else happens and this happens and something else goes on. And everything just seems like we're overwhelmed. Maybe it's time for me to confess that to myself and say, don't forget the goal. Don't forget the goal. Don't forget where you're going. Don't forget where I belong. See that? Don't forget. Now, I know we can't exit off on a calendar like we do vacations and we do other things and say, okay, this is the day. I don't know when the day is going to be. I've got to be ready every day. But don't forget. Don't forget there's something better. Don't forget there's something more important. Don't forget about that. See? So what am I doing? And when I ask this question, this is point three, asking the question, what am I doing? This is not to say that you can somehow earn your way to heaven when I say, what are you doing? You're not going to earn your way into heaven. That's not possible. But there is such a thing as obedience. And there is such a thing as meeting conditions. And there's a difference between the two things. Did you know that? I can meet a condition. I don't know if you thought about it in these terms before. I can meet a condition and the gift, the product, whatever it is, still be free. Do you know that's possible? What do you think? Shake or nod?
Yes.
Yeah. If I can meet conditions, something can still be free. You can do it. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
So those people, they got it for free. They had to go out and get it.
Yes.
And then even in the, and this may be a little different context than we're talking about, but even in the Garden of Eden, they had a job.
Mm-hmm.
They still worked in the garden. Mm-hmm. So they weren't, mindless, just existing. They still had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still, even though their existence was free,
absolutely. They had to do. There was conditions that had to be met. There's free food here in this garden. Got to pick it. There's free food. There it's for you. Free food, gleaning. I thought you were going to talk about manna. Manna was free. Still got to go pick it up every day. Yeah. There's conditions. Oh, yeah. You didn't just get it and eat it. You had to pluck it and gut it and yeah, cut its head off and cook it and all that good stuff. That's what you got to do. So there were still things to do to enjoy the free meal of a quail or free manna. And you see that as well. I've counted up at least 8 conditions that's necessary. If the radio station said, "Hey, we got free movie tickets. Be the 8th caller and you'll get free movie tickets." And I've counted up at least 8 conditions necessary to get free movie tickets. Yeah. First of all, you got to believe him. And anyway, I won't bore you with all that. But yeah, there's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of conditions. And that's why I say there are conditions necessary for going to heaven. That doesn't mean you earned anything. Jesus said in Luke 17:10 that when you've done all that I've commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We've just done what is our duty to do. When we do, if you do everything in the Bible perfectly, you're still unprofitable. In other words, all that did was get you to zero. Everybody with me? Profit doesn't happen until after zero. All this, the best you could do is get to zero. You can't get profit. There's no way God's going to owe you anything. But there are conditions. Conditions we've talked about already, such as believing on Christ, to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him and be baptized. There's conditions necessary in salvation, like we talked about. Revelation 22:14, we touched on a moment ago. What were we talking about? Blessed in our sermon a minute ago. Blessed are they that what? Do His commandments. How many commandments? There's some of them. Just do the ones I like to do. Do the commandments that are easy. Do the commandments that I was going to do anyways, even if God didn't tell me. Do all of them. See, sometimes people get in trouble with that because we kind of have an attitude of, well, I was going to do those things anyways. You know, the Bible says don't lie to people. And you say, you know what, that does make sense. I'm not going to lie to people anyways. Well, then you're not lying. You're not telling the truth because God told you to. You're doing it because you're going to do it anyways. So it's not just doing the commandments I was going to do anyways. It's doing all of them. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful. Yes, to death. And I'll give thee the crown of life. That's what it takes. It takes the spiritual mind, Romans 8:6. It takes Romans 12:1-2. Not being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And these things, and I'm not by any means touching the hem of the garment of what we could talk about, but when we're looking at this, what am I doing? Am I following His will? Am I faithful? See, now I have to answer that one for myself. I have to let God's Word, James 1 talks about God's Word being a mirror. I need to look into the mirror of God's Word and compare myself to what's there. Compare myself to that mirror and make the necessary changes when I need to change. And also to keep the things going that I need to keep going. I think that's part of our problem as Christians, is that we forget sometimes I need to keep going in a certain way. I don't need to drop it. Okay? I need to keep it going. I need to not quit. Don't give up. Be not weary. Galatians 6 talks about be not weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. But keep on doing what the Lord says. Any questions on this so far? Or comments or anything?
You're asking the question, what do you think about these people? Were thinking about that country that they had envisioned that they were going for. That was what was on their mind.
Yeah, that's it. They hadn't received the promises yet, but they had that on their mind. They're pushing forward. Yeah. Okay. What else?
I was thinking about Hebrews 10:25 that we studied last week. And the last part of that says, encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we don't know when that day is, but you can still have that anticipation. And that is like you were talking about with the vacation. It's getting closer. I get more excited to start to talk about it more. So you see the day approaching, it mm-hmm. provokes you to mm-hmm. a higher activity.
Okay. Yeah. And we're supposed to be living every day in that preparation, aren't we? Now, sometimes that gets hard to do, and we say, well, one day comes and one day goes, and one day's the same, another day's the same. Don't do that. Don't be weary and well-doing. We've got to keep moving in the right direction.
We're talking about things that are free.
Mm-hmm.
Eating that, I'm often reminded, David told Arana, when Arana was going to give him the oxen, give him the threshing floor, and he said, I cannot sacrifice anything.
Mm-hmm.
You come over to Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23. It says, you know, the wages of sin are death.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about, but the free gift of God is eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop there. It says, in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So there's only one way. It's free,
mm-hmm.
but you have to meet the condition mm-hmm. of being in Christ Jesus. And that's the point.
Absolutely. You've got to be in Christ to do it. Absolutely. Absolutely.